Would you turn me, please, to the Gospel according to Matthew at chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, and as the Lord would help us, we might consider together verse 7. Matthew chapter 5 at verse 7, where we read, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Now you'll remember that in these Beatitudes, these statements with which the Sermon on the Mount opens, that the Lord Jesus is outlining some of the characteristics of the person who is blessed, the person who is a member of his kingdom, who is a disciple of Jesus Christ. And he's saying, well, my disciples are like this. Poor in spirit, they are mourners, they are meek, they hunger and thirst after righteousness, and here they are merciful. And you can say that the first four Beatitudes tend to focus on individuals, ourselves. And they tend to show the sort of feelings we have, the attitude we have to ourselves, and ourselves in relationship to God. We are conscious of our own weakness. We are poor in spirit. We are dependent on God. The Blessed One is one who mourns. He mourns over his sin and looks for cleansing to Christ and is comforted there. The believer is someone who is meek. He's not pushy. He's not brash. There is a gentleness, there is a patience about him. Yes, he stands up for what's right, and he will be vehement in doing so. But he is not one who goes around causing trouble. There's a meekness which he has learned through seeing his own sin and his own weakness and coming to rely on God. Yes, he hungers and thirsts after righteousness. His great desire is to be right with God and right like God, to be holy. Not merely declared holy by God in law, but actually in practice to live a holy life. So these things tend to focus on ourselves and in our relationship with God. And then the next four, well, they obviously focus on how the blessed man, the follower of Christ, how he relates to other people and to the world around him. Blessed are the merciful. Well, we don't show mercy to ourselves, we show mercy to others. The pure in heart. Well, that shows the sort of purity and lifestyle we have living in the world. A peacemaker. Well, there's a believer, he's not going around causing trouble. He wants to live peaceably. And of course that means living with others peaceably. And so on. So here, we're reminded that the believer is someone who is merciful. You'll notice that the Lord Jesus doesn't say that we should be merciful. That's true. But he's saying one of the characteristics of those who are blessed to follow me is that to a certain degree, they are merciful. Well, are you merciful? Do you delight in being merciful? Is that one of the things which characterizes your life? Are you merciful in a way which is different from the world's showing of mercy to others? That's a challenge that the Lord lays down here. A difficult challenge to meet. Well, let's consider what the Lord is saying here. And we'll notice three things. First of all, the meaning of mercy. And then secondly, the motive for mercy. And then thirdly, the promise of mercy. First of all, let us notice the meaning of mercy. He says, blessed are the merciful. Well, what exactly is the Lord Jesus driving at here? What is the description that he is setting before us when he speaks of a merciful person? Well, we need to define it, surely. And when we think of mercy, of course we go to Scripture, and we see how that describes it, so that we may understand how to define it. What does it include? Well, sure, it includes the idea of pity and compassion leading forth to action. You remember that the high priest was someone who was taken from among men that he might have compassion on the weak and those who were out of the way, that he might be a merciful high priest. Every high priest was expected to be compassionate and merciful. So there we get an idea of what is being spoken of. It's speaking of an attitude of pity and compassion to those who are in need, leading to the showing of mercy. Now we've got Proverbs in chapter 14. At verse 21 it says, he that despiseth his neighbour sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. So there's someone who's poor. There is someone who is in need. And there is pity flowing, leading to mercy. But it's obviously more than compassion. It's more than just a feeling of compassion and pity to those who are weak, those who are in need. We can pity the destitute and needy and have a certain feeling about them. We can feel a sympathy for them. We try and enter into the situation they are in and think of how awful it must be to them. But it's something that leads to action. That's what mercy is. A pity and compassion which leads to action, which leads to us actively seeking to help. You remember how James warned about the need to be not only hearers but doers of the word. Of how he warns of how one could see a brother in need and say, well, be clothed, be warmed. You're in need. You would see someone today and, well, they're cold. They're hungry. Well, pray for your brother that you might have warmth, that you might have food. But that's as far as it goes. And there isn't that act of helping. There's nothing being done. There's no point saying be clothed, be warm, be clothed, and you're not actually doing anything about it. James says, look, that is a faith without works. That is a lack. So it's a pity, a compassion, which leads to action. There's a person that's destitute. And I'm doing more than just saying, well, I hope things are better. I'm doing whatever is required to deliver them from their situation, to bring them out of their difficulty, and to supply their need. Is that not one reason why, when John the Baptist was preaching, and the soldiers came and they were asking what they were doing, or the other people's asking what they were doing, he said, well, if you get two coats, give to him. Give to him who has none. Is there someone who's needy? Remember them. Help them. Don't be hard-hearted. Be merciful. And so mercy at the end of the day reaches out to help those who are in need. Perhaps we could define it this way. Mercy sees the results of sin. It sees people in misery. They're living with the consequences of being sinners in a sinful world. They themselves may have brought some of the troubles on themselves. It sees pain, misery and distress, and pity leads to relief, leads us to want to relieve them. When we think of grace, the focus is more on the sin itself and its need of pardon. But mercy focuses on the need and the relief of the need. Well, how then can we describe what it means to be merciful? Well, can we say a merciful spirit is a charitable spirit? Remember James? True religion, what does it consist of? Well, he said, true religion undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the widows and fatherless in their afflictions. That's the first thing he says. He doesn't say it's a godly, he doesn't say, first of all, it's to keep yourself unspotted from the world. That's not even the first thing he puts down. No, it's true. A holy life will be a godly, separate life. But he says, it's a merciful spirit. There's a widow. There's a fatherless. There's a needy person. One who is vulnerable. One who is liable to be abused by others. Who'll be taken advantage of. Remember them. Visit them. Help them. Do you do that, friend? There's the merciful spirit. It's the charitable spirit. You remember Dorcas. Dorcas, who was full of good deeds, who had died, and how Dorcas, the people were showing the apostles the clothes she had been making for those who were poor and needy. So there's a very active, outward, charitable spirit that the Good Samaritan we were reading of, the children will remember the story. Who showed mercy? Not the one you'd have expected, the priest, but the minister of elder, or the Levite. No, it wasn't even that. It was the Samaritan, the one who was the most unlikely person. So, there's a charitable spirit. You think of the Lord. He saw the people. They were in need. He had compassion upon them. And what did he do? He healed them. Or he fed them. It's a charitable spirit. You see, it's more than a gesture. It's more than an acknowledgement they're in need. A merciful spirit seeks real relief for people. That's what the man did. The Samaritan. He gets the man who's injured. Puts him in his donkey. He takes him to the inn. He pays the innkeeper. He says, look, there'll be more if it's needed. And he is actively doing something. Friend, would you do that? Would I do that? That's mercy. A charitable spirit. Not walking by, but reaching out to help. Can we not also say that it's a forgiving spirit? We find that that merciful attitude includes forgiveness. You see, we're so liable to bear grudges. We're so liable to be like the world where there is a hardness to others. And the slightest excuse, well, they've brought this upon themselves. They deserve it, and that's the end. You think of the Lord Jesus. Was he not forgiven? You see him there on the cross. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. You think of Stephen. Lay not this to their charge. Friends, should we not remember that the world are the slaves of sin? What a pitiful condition. You were once there. And has the Lord delivered you from that? Don't you remember that they're the slaves of sin? That they've been deluded by the evil one? And you see, when we see such a thing, there comes a willingness, a compassion, which leads us to be willing to forgive. You remember the parable of the two debtors. The one who owned a great deal, the one who owed a small amount. And there's a servant who was released from his great debt, and he grabs a hold of his fellow servant who only owes him a few pence, and he's saying, "You're going to pay, you're going to pay." Where's his compassion? There's his problem. A merciful spirit will be charitable and will be forgiving. But can't we see something else? A merciful spirit will be an evangelizing spirit. Friend, what are people's greatest needs? You see someone homeless? Well, they have a great need. They've got no home. Maybe you have no money. Maybe you have no food. But what's their greatest need? It's the need of their soul. Now that doesn't mean to say we ignore the other needs. But you see, a merciful spirit will be conscious that the greatest need of people is their eternal need. And so a merciful spirit is an evangelizing spirit. Because friend, what do we long for? Don't we long for the greatest blessing to be upon people? And what's the greatest blessing we can help to bring upon someone? Is it not the deliverance from sin? The deliverance from God's judgment? The deliverance from the clutches of the evil one? The Lord Jesus, he saw the people. He had compassion on them, and what did he do? He began to teach them. He saw there was sheep without a shepherd. And he said, "The harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send laborers into the harvest fields." They're needy. And what's their greatest need? They're wandering around and they're going to be destroyed. They're a prey to all sorts of false ideas, to wolves who will destroy them with falsehood. What do they need? The gospel. And so, do we have that pity? Do we have that pity? And do we have this burden, yes, for the physical needs of people? Despite the fact that they in their sinfulness may have brought some of it or a large part of it on themselves, and are we longing for their salvation? Perhaps we can just notice a few characteristics of mercy. Can we not say that mercy, whenever we show mercy, it's only truly mercy if we do the thing freely and not as a duty? Parents, they don't show mercy to their children. It is their duty to look after their children. You who have aged parents who you look after, you don't show mercy to you. It is not mercy as such to care for that aged parent. It is your duty. It is your scriptural duty to remember those who are your aged parents and to care for them. That's your duty. You see, mercy is shown to those who have no claims upon us for help. It's not our duty, but we see the need. And we want to help. Can we not also say that mercy is impartial? We're to do good to all men, especially those who are of the household of faith. Yes, there are those who have a claim, especially fellow believers. But all sorts of people we should want to show mercy to. Who is my neighbour? Well, the parable of the Good Samaritan tells us, whoever it is that's in need. You see, it's so easy for us to say, "Well, I'll go and help so-and-so. I get on well with them. They're my friend. They're my relation. They've remembered me in the past well, it's good to be doing these things. But a merciful spirit sees beyond those things to whoever's in need. And that merciful spirit will seek to help. Another thing, is it not spontaneous? You know, some things we stand back and wonder, well, hopefully someone else will help. And then at least the relief will be given. Or we think, well, they should do something for themselves first. And once they've sorted themselves out, then we'll come and help. But no. Surely a truly merciful spirit reaches out. It sees the need. It doesn't think, let someone else help. It wants to help. It wants to show mercy. It's spontaneous. I'm sure we've all felt in situations where we end up thinking, well, I'd better do something about it. We almost feel ashamed if we wouldn't do something about it. But it wasn't spontaneous. It was more a case of, well, circumstances or others helping make us feel bad if we don't help. What's happened? There's been a lack of a spontaneous, merciful spirit. You see, we should be spontaneous. A truly merciful spirit is spontaneous. It's not something that's forced out of us, it's dragged out of us, that we're bounced into a certain situation. Can we also say it's also a sacrificial thing? The Good Samaritan, he gives of his money to pay for this man who's never seen before, to pay for his need. He doesn't grudge. We can grudge giving. Well, that's not mercy. It is sacrificial. And we read of that, they were not in Deuteronomy. Because there in Deuteronomy, there was this 7 years of release from debts. Is there this poor man here, who's a brother Israelite, who's in need? We'll give him. Is it almost up the time when the year of release comes, when all these debts are released? Are you going to give that man some money? You give him £100,000, and it's only a few weeks to the time of release? What does it mean? You'll lose the money. No hope of seeing it back. Don't be grieved. And what is the lesson? Be merciful, and you'll obtain mercy. You read the Deuteronomy 15 at the end there. That's the lesson that comes out. The same as what the Lord is saying here. The merciful receive mercy. So here's a selfless, constant thing. Friend, are you like that? Am I like that? That's what the Lord Jesus says. His people are mine. And at least in measure they're like that. And their desire should be to be like that. And they should feel convicted when they realize that often they fall short of that mercifulness that Christ displayed. Well, let's notice secondly the motive for mercy. Because it's as we see the motive for mercy that we are energized, we are reinvigorated with a desire to be merciful. What is it? Well, we could say there's two motives. First of all, there's gratitude to God, and then there's the glory of God. First of all, gratitude to God. It says here, blessed are the merciful. And of course, there are those who immediately stand up and say, well, this shows you that if you are merciful, you will receive God's mercy, you will win his favour, you will be able to save yourself. This is one of these texts that's liable to be abused by people who want a works gospel. The merciful merit mercy. The only trouble is the text doesn't say that. It says, they shall obtain mercy, but it doesn't say you'll earn mercy, you'll gain God's favour, you'll win God's blessing. What's the context of the verse? It is that the merciful people are those who also hunger and thirst after righteousness, and they know that their only righteousness is to be found in Jesus Christ. That's the only righteousness that counts with God, which will win acceptance with God. Matthew 18. You've got the forgiving man there. Does he earn the forgiveness? No. But he's told that he will not be forgiven if he is not forgiving. What's been said is, a forgiving spirit is something that belongs to someone who is forgiven. And that's what the Lord Jesus is saying here. A merciful spirit is something that belongs to those who have received mercy. Have you received mercy, friend? You have. Does that not make you want to be merciful? Gratitude to God. And the more you and I are aware of how indebted we are to God for His mercy, the more we will be willing to show mercy. Friend, are you grateful for daily mercies? Think of how God is good to you. Good unto all men is the Lord over all His works, His mercy is. You share a measure of health and strength and in the good things of this world. The Lord preserves man and beast. How precious is His grace. Think of all you receive from Him day by day. You're not worthy of the least of His mercies. The more you are conscious of your sinfulness and fallenness, the more you will agree that if God was to deal with you as you deserve, you could not stand before Him. He would banish you from His presence. And if you spent eternity in hell, you could not complain. That is what you deserve. It's what I deserve. It's what all deserve. Friends, we take so much of our daily blessings for granted. Oh, that we could feel an unworthiness of the least of God's mercies. Because then, every day would be a day of wonders to us. We would wake up and be amazed. We're still in the land of the living. We would sit before the breakfast table and we would be amazed at the faithfulness of God. His mercies are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. It's amazing He puts up with me. And He showers me with blessings. Friends, let us seek to cultivate such a spirit. It's the truth. We know it's the truth. But so often, we just go on, taking for granted our daily blessings. Let us be amazed at God's kindness. And you see, when we've received of His kindness, we will gladly share the kindness He has showered upon us with others. But if not only gratitude for daily mercies, does gratitude for Christ, who is the mercy, the mercy. Think of Christ, the Saviour. All the blessings of salvation which come to those who believe through Him. You've got no right to your daily food but through Christ, because otherwise you would take it and abuse it, living for yourself, not for God, and that's sinful. You're a robber if you don't live to the glory of God. You rob Him of His glory, and every time you eat, you are robbing of His glory and abusing His good gifts. Now we're aware that we all in a measure do that. But what is it that gives us a right to our daily food? That free forgiveness that comes through Christ. And that right to the blessings of even our daily food in Him. But He also gives us a right to all the spiritual blessings. All the blessings of salvation which come through Him. Friend, have you shared in that wonderful deliverance? Have you come to faith in Christ? You can see that He took me from a fearful pit and from the miry clay. And He set me up on a firm rock. And He's established my way. Don't you want to sing his praises and thank him for his goodness? And you know that if you are to count the blessings that you receive day by day, they are more than can be numbered. Not merely temporal blessings which come through Christ, but those spiritual blessings which come through Christ. You have all those blessings, how he helps you day by day. He strengthens you physically and spiritually. He keeps you, he protects you. He's given you the hope of heaven. There's forgiveness through him. It's amazing, isn't it? God's grace. His mercy, reaching out. He gave Christ the mercy. Think of Christ the Father's love gift. He who did not spare his Son, but delivered him up for us all, how much more shall he not also with him freely give us all things? You think of the Son giving himself. And as you can see, he loved me and gave himself for me. He showed mercy when I didn't deserve it. And he did this for me. And if I see someone in need, and will I not bother to help them? Let someone else do it. Let them sort out their own problem. See, that's the attitude of the world so often. But no, I must help. I will gladly help. I will think it nothing to help. I've received so much mercy. There's nothing worse than seeing ingratitude, is there? Well, let gratitude be displayed in our lives. And a debtor to mercy. And therefore I will show mercy to those who are in need. I want to imitate God, who gave Christ the mercy. I wanted to imitate that merciful Lord Jesus. There's the motive, you see. That's why the Christian is merciful. He's received mercy. And he wants to show mercy. You see, the world sometimes shows mercy. But it tends to be a case of, well, I could be in that situation. Because I could be in that situation, I would relieve them. They're fellow humans. I better help. But you end up with really what is a selfish mercy. Because the motive comes from ourself. The motive comes from that feeling, well, I could be in their situation. And I would want, if I was in their situation, for someone to help me. And therefore I will help them. But you see, the Christian does it. Because he has received mercy. Gratitude to God. Friends, the more grateful you are, the more it will be seen in mercy shown to others. Then a second motive, the glory of God. What's man's chief end? To glorify God. Are you living for the glory of God? Surely you are if you're a believer. You want to live to please him. You were made for this. You want to glorify him. You see, God is in your thoughts. The worldly man, God is not in all his thoughts. He rarely thinks about God. And his thoughts about God are usually wrong when he does think about God. And he lives his life just looking at what's going on, looking downwards rather than upwards. But you and I aren't like that. We're not to be like that. We can end up falling into the way of the thinking that the world has. But we shouldn't. God should be in all our thoughts. Is there a needy man there? Why should we want to help him? He's one of God's creatures. It's not a case of being a fellow human. He's one of God's creatures. And as one of God's creatures, sustained by God, and he is accountable to God, should I not want to help him? And therefore I do it for God and for his glory. Because this creature belongs to God. Might be a very rebellious creature, this man, this woman, fighting against God. Of course, I will not encourage them in sin. And I will warn them of their need. But I will show mercy. I will seek to bring true relief, which includes spiritual relief, as well as physical relief for them. You remember how the Lord Jesus spoke about on the day of judgment. He would say, "Come ye blessed of my Father, enter ye in to the joy of the Lord. I was poor and needy, and you visited me. Naked you clothed me. Hungry you fed me. A prisoner you visited me. For as much as you did it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you did it unto me." Now the reference there is to showing mercy, especially to believers, because it's one of the least of these my brethren. So here's a believer doing it to a fellow believer. Why? Because they're one of the brothers of Christ. And doing it as if they were doing it to Christ himself, because that person belongs to Christ. Christ indwells them by his Spirit. They're loved by Christ. And therefore, out of love to Christ and a desire for the glory of Christ, showing mercy to that poor and needy believer. Friends, the glory of God. As you and I aim for the glory of God, as you and I keep God in our thoughts, as you and I even see that that mercy is the fulfilling of the commandments of God, and therefore it's the right thing to do, we'll have proper motives for showing mercy. And you see, the believer is someone who's received mercy from God, and who wants to live to the glory of God. And therefore there is gratitude and a desire to honour him. It leads to a merciful spirit. You complain, "Oh, I wish I could be more merciful. I feel so hard-hearted. I am so cold at times." Well, grieve over that fact and seek to stir up within you more gratitude to God for what he's done for you. And keep your eye on the glory of God. And what will the result be? You'll become more merciful. You become more merciful with true mercy as you keep an eye to the glory of God and give thanks for God's goodness to you. Well, let's notice thirdly the promise of mercy. He says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Remember, it's a gracious promise. We're so prone to works, aren't we? That's the first thing that floods our mind. The merciful, they'll merit mercy, but no, that's not what it is. There's no reference to works. Salvation is of grace. Daily mercies are of God's common grace, his goodness and kindness to us. Here's a gracious promise then. And what is God's promise? That he will be merciful. That he will comfort us and supply us with all our needs. You and I, we still need His mercy every day, don't we? We still need God to supply us with our daily needs, temporally and spiritually. Not just our bodily needs, but our spiritual needs. Well, the promise is, the merciful shall obtain mercy. There's mercy now. We read that we weren't to be in Deuteronomy 15 that here's a poor brother and you're tempted to be grieved, but you've got to give to him because the year of release is coming up. Thou shalt surely give him. Thine heart shall not be grieved, for thou givest unto him, because that for this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy works and in all that thou puttest thine hand unto. Do you deserve that? No. That's what God will do. He'll show mercy. He will be merciful to the merciful. You think of what it's like when you come across someone who's ungrateful. You give them something. It might be a child, you give them a sweet, or it might be someone you give some money to. What happens if they're not grateful? They take it for granted. Perhaps they come back asking for more. But the very selfishness, the lack of gratitude, it puts you off helping them. Because you're aware that there should be a grateful spirit. That's the right thing to do. And it's sinful not to show gratitude where it's due. Well, there's the Lord. As we show gratitude in our mercy and live to His glory, He will ensure that we receive what we need. Might not be what we want, but He will show mercy. He will supply our ongoing needs. And of course, at the end of time, there's a great mercy of heaven at the end. Remember how Paul can commend this in 2 Timothy chapter 1. He speaks of one of the brethren who helped him, and Onesiphorus. He often refreshed me, he was not ashamed of my chain. When in Rome he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. May he not only find mercy now, but in the day of judgment. May he receive the mercy of God, which is heaven itself. Friend, what a gracious promise. Those who are unmerciful deprive themselves of mercy. Notice it's also a certain promise. They shall inherit, they shall obtain mercy. There's no doubts here. You only have to look at Scripture, and what do you find? The fulfillment of this truth. The children will remember the woman of Zarephath. Elijah comes. He's hungry, he needs food. Bake me a little cake, but there's only a little left. You keep on baking, and the barrel of meal will not run out. Is that not what God does? Isn't it amazing at times that what God does? You give, and what happens? You give, and the Lord makes it up, one way or another. Sometimes you get. You've given when really you couldn't give, but you gave anyway, and the Lord sends you something. Often that's been the case. Blessed are the merciful, they shall receive mercy. As someone put it, he cannot disown in his own people the image of himself. He sees their mercifulness and he showers mercies on them. Well, are you merciful? Are you merciful? Faith without works is dead. Faith doesn't, works do not save us. But the faith shows itself in love, in works, in mercifulness. May God challenge us. May He lead us to be more merciful. And being merciful, we shall obtain mercy.